by the word of God that is being released today from the heavens, we are beginning to understand certain truths. One of the truths, or rather the major truth or the focus of the faith, is our origin in Christ. Amen. Our origin in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, let us understand. Let us just, because you cannot just describe Christ in one day, in one moment. We have to first of all understand who is Christ. Who is Christ? When you say Christ, 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 Christ consciousness, you know, Christ is the truth. Who is Christ? Christ is that one that has always been from the beginning in the Father. Amen? Christ is the one by whom everything upon the earth is created. Everything upon the earth is simply what we call expressions or reflection of the Son and the Father. Every single thing, every particle, every single thing we behold with our eyes, and the things that we not behold with our eyes, we are all created by Christ, for Christ and for His pleasure. And He's before all things. Christ is not a man or a physical flesh and blood body like people think. Of course, He might take up the form of a man to preach the gospel and to save people and to probably reveal the mystery of godliness. Because why do we call it the mystery of godliness? We call it the mystery of godliness because men in their low mortal states have no idea, have no understanding about this mystery called godliness. So Christ can take up the form of a man, and when He takes up the form of a man, He comes down here to reveal this mystery, manifest this mystery, and to save the souls of men who have erred away from this sacred fellowship that has been from the foundation of the world. Because in Christ, actually, there is a fellowship. Amen? We are now beginning to understand, as light comes, that Christ is a many-membered body. It is not just Jesus. Amen? It's a many-membered body. Many souls, many nations, all form that one body. It's one force, one spiritual force, one spiritual mind. You know, working in the will of the Father. It is something that we must understand. Christ is before anything that is material, anything that is created, both visible or invisible. Christ is before all. Amen. And He reigns over all principalities and powers. He reigns above all. Amen? Hallelujah. When Paul prayed a prayer, is it in one of the letters to the Ephesians? He says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Raised us up and caused us to sit down in what? In heavenly places, in what? In Christ. All of us are gathered and called to sit in Christ, to rule with Christ. Amen. In a letter to Timothy, he says, if we suffer with Christ, we what? We will reign with Him. Amen. If we die with Him, we live with Him. When you talk of reigning, you are talking of kingship. Amen. This is one aspect of our identity that God is now beginning to bring to light. That you are not just a slave to corruption. You are not just, you know, an ordinary human being who is a slave to corruption. But in reality, your origin is that of kings. You are kings and princes. Amen? But the kings and princes, they fall. They fall because of what? A darkened mind. A mind that has been darkened. You understand my point? The mind that is darkened is a mind that loses what? Understanding. When you are not aware of yourself. When you lose all understanding of yourself. Have you seen somebody who was sane and in his right senses, then suddenly he loses his mind? He suddenly loses an awareness of who he is. He loses an awareness of his true person. Isn't it? That is how man is in this world. Man is just walking around like a man who is mental, who has lost the senses, not knowing who he is. He's groping in darkness, you know. When you are in the dark, you do not see anything. You don't even see yourself in the dark. But when the light comes, now you begin to see your true person. You begin to see the truth. Understanding now returns. So the light of God comes to give us understanding about our origin. That you are not just ordinary flesh and blood beings who are born to be slaves to corruption. Do you know that men are slaves to corruption? Men are slaves to corruption, that's to material things. All the evil and all the problems we see in this world is because man's heart, or rather man, has become what? A slave to corruption. Amen? Can God be tempted? God cannot be tempted. He cannot be tempted because of his incorruptible nature. Amen? God can you know, could walk into a bank and stay in the midst of billions of dollars and sleep there without touching it. You know that? He could do anything. You see, he's not in bondage. He's not subject to a corruptible nature. It is the corruptible nature that makes man to lust. Amen? And to therefore transgress the law. But we are created and generated in the image of God. We are not just created flesh and blood being. Somebody said, but how do we find ourselves as flesh and blood beings today? We find ourselves as flesh and blood beings simply because we have been introduced into a new system called the world system. And the world system is actually what? In darkness. Right from the day you are born, you have been fed with what? With lies. You've been fed with, you know, from the kingdom of darkness, so that you are not aware of your true form. That in reality you are a king. You are supposed to reign over all, with all power and with all glory. Amen? We all originated from that same crown. And the intention now is for each and every one of us to do what? To get back to that place. Amen? Get back to our place in Christ. Rediscover yourself in Christ. Get back and sit down upon the throne of David. Amen? You remember when the angel appeared to the mother of Jesus? What did the angel tell the mother of Jesus? What did he tell Mary? He said that what? Your son, that's Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 34. Are you there?
Yes.
He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no what?
End.
No end. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. The throne of David is actually a shadow of the throne of Christ. It's a throne that has always been. Amen? It is not a throne that is created someday. It is a throne that has always been. You see, and Jesus, the angel was prophesying concerning the birth of this person who is going to sit upon the throne. How did Jesus Christ come to sit upon the throne? Because people, you know, at the end of the day expected that Jesus is going to reign in some kind of physical throne in Jerusalem. That is what men always look for. They look for physical, you know, manifestations of these things. At times they try to seize Jesus Christ and take him where? To sit upon the throne. They wanted to seize him to make him king of Israel. But he withdrew from them because he knew these people did not understand what they were talking about. Hallelujah. He says his kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. His kingdom is from another world, another kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. It's the kingdom that has been before this world was. And it's the kingdom that will remain even as this world passes away. The things that we see are only temporal and they pass away. But the kingdom of God remains forever. The kingdom of God is the true kingdom. Amen. That is the real life. That is where all power and all authority dwells. The power that created the heavens and the earth. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is that same power that functions in the kingdom of God. It's a power, the power to give life, to make alive. Hallelujah. The power, you know, to call into being things that are not as though they are. That power lies only in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. And you see, you discover that this prophecy of the angel is a prophecy that does not only apply to Jesus after the flesh. These are, when you hear prophecies in the Bible, prophecies are things that span eternity. This same prophecy is fulfilled over and over again. Over and over again. Because on the inside of us, a child is going to be what? Yes. A child is born on the inside of us. The Christ is born in the inside of us. We too have the womb in us. And we too are going to give birth to the Christ, who is going to sit where? Upon this throne of David. This is the throne of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is calling his sons now to come back to their place. We read one Isaiah the other day. We had fellowship in book of Psalm 24. It's a very famous psalm. Hallelujah. In verse 23. Psalm 24 from verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand on his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Listen now. This is the part I want us to come to. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall what? Shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall what? Shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Hallelujah. This is a very, very powerful scripture and very deep. Hallelujah. We are talking here of who will ascend unto the hill of the Lord. What is upon the hill of the Lord? What? Yes, the throne. The throne of David is upon the hill of the Lord. It's because Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the everlasting Jerusalem, the true Jerusalem, dwells upon the hill of the Lord. It's a spiritual mountain. And there is a throne there. Hallelujah. And that's the throne of David. That is the eternal throne of Christ. Amen. That's why he said, open all ye gates of everlasting doors. He's not talking about a physical gate somewhere in the Middle East where the Jews stay. He's talking about what? A spiritual gate. Eternal gates. You see, eternal. When you talk about that eternal, you're talking of God's kingdom. It's only God and His kingdom that is internal. Amen? So that is it. And God says, open all ye gates so that the kings of glory will what? Will enter in. What are the kings of glory entering the gates for? Who are these kings of glory? Or who is this king of glory? The king of glory enters the gate to his throne in the city. Hallelujah. Amen. And that king of glory is who? Is Christ. Hallelujah. This is the Lord of hosts who has won a battle on the outside and is now returning into the city to sit upon his throne, his rightful throne. Hallelujah. This is Christ. I want us to realize that this particular scripture was fulfilled when Jesus ascended. Remember? Do you know Jesus ascended in the cloud? Do you know the cloud signified the chariots of God? You remember Elijah? When Elijah was taken up what? Chariots with horsemen, chariots of fire. That same chariots of fire is the same as the clouds of God. In the night time you see it as fire, in the daytime you see it as a cloud. Amen. In the book of Psalm, the Bible says he makes his clouds chariots. Amen. When Jesus Christ ascended in the cloud after his resurrection, what happened is actually he was riding upon chariots and entering back into his kingdom to sit upon the throne of David. Hallelujah. Amen. Even during the days of his ministry here on earth, Jesus Christ was upon that throne. That scene that we saw at the end of his ministry when he was physically taken up is only a symbolic sign for we who have understanding to understand. It's a symbolic sign for us to understand there is an ascension in the spirit that we all have to go through. It is nothing to do with being caught up in the cloud like what men call rapture. The rapture actually occurs, but it is a spiritual phenomenon. The rapture has got nothing to do with what? With people physically flying away to the sky. It's a spiritual activity when we ascend from the lower places of the earth into the high places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that same pattern that Jesus Christ followed is the same pattern that we all are supposed to what? Follow. Amen. That's why it says that when Jesus Christ says, follow me, what do you think he's leading you to? He's taking you up to his throne. He's taking you up to his glory. He's not taking you to hell like men will take you. He's taking you to a place of all power, of all authority. Hallelujah. Where I am is where my servant will be. If you follow me, the works that I do, you will do also. Any disciple that is well taught of the master becomes like the master. So when we follow the Son, when we follow Christ, we are led by the Spirit to that particular throne of David, that exalted throne of David. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, believe it or not, we are those people that God is calling to ride upon chariots through the gates of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. As you get the revelation light, as you get an understanding of your true identity as kings in Christ Jesus, as kings who have been from the beginning in the Father, the gates of heaven begin to open for you to ascend and enter into. Hallelujah. There is a battle of the faith anyway to fight. That's why it says the Lord mighty in battle. What is the battle you are fighting? You're fighting a battle against principalities and power. Amen. As a king, you have your armor. Amen. Your shield of faith. Hallelujah. Your breastplate of love. Hallelujah. Your helmet of hope. Hallelujah. And you are at battle as king, fighting against the principalities and powers. Amen. Amen. Which is actually the beliefs of men, negative beliefs of men, that try to pin you down to a dust identity. Amen. These are the negative, beliefs of men that try to rob you of your crown. Amen. What when Jesus Christ says you shall inherit a crown of life, what do you think he's talking about? It's those people that inherit that crown of, in God's kingdom. I shall give you what? A crown of life. It's not a physical gold crown, brethren. Amen. It does not make sense that people go somewhere in the sky and sit down upon physical chairs with big gold crowns upon their head. No. It talks of rulership, kingship. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ had that crown upon himself when he was here on earth. You know that? He had that crown upon his head. It doesn't have to be a physical crown. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you discover that as you walk in the light, people recognize you as a prince of God. You know, I walked into a place once and the minister of God saw me, and you know what he told the people there? He said, this is a prince of God in Israel. How did he see? God opened his eyes to see that this is not just an ordinary man. Amen. Hallelujah. And in reality, even that man that prophesied, he too is a prince in Israel. But he has to wake up. All of us have to awaken to this true life, this true nature as kings and princes in God. Hallelujah. Rush quickly to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 24. Are you there? And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but hallow the Sabbath day, and do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and what? Princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses. And they and their princes, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain for what? This is a sign, everlasting sign, that the prophet Jeremiah is prophesying. If we keep the Sabbath, you know what it means to keep the Sabbath? You know, we discussed this yesterday. To keep the Sabbath talks about, you know, walking in the Spirit. It talks about walking after the Christ within you. Amen. You see, some brethren are still waiting for some days. You see, by faith you have to begin to walk in the light and in the understanding you have. That is the only way you can manifest this glory. Amen. Isaiah 58 says, if you give your bread to the hungry, break the yokes, set the prisoner free, doing the things that please the Father. And you do the things that please the Father. By what? By walking in the truth, by walking in the consciousness of your true nature, which is hidden Christ. That's what they call a fast. A fast is denying your pleasures after the flesh, denying your identity after the flesh, and walking after the Spirit. If you pick up the cross to follow the Lord Jesus, you are already fulfilling the Sabbath, where there is no more works of the flesh. Amen. You are no more doing your works after the flesh, but you are doing the things that please what? The Father. I give you one assignment. Read Isaiah 58 properly and get what the Spirit is saying. Amen. That is what they call a fast. It's not the religious acts that we see upon the earth today. Some people subject their members of churches to 40 days fast and 30 days, 20 days and all those kind of things. And they measure their spirituality based on how many days you can fast. But I tell you, all those things have no meaning if you do not understand this true fast. The true fast talks about denying your identity that you've born in flesh and blood and begin to walk after Christ. Amen? Begin to walk after the purity and in the light of the knowledge of the Christ within you. Amen. And he says that as you do these things, what will happen? Kings and princes shall ride through the gates of Jerusalem. Isn't it? And they shall sit upon what? The throne of David. Hallelujah. Amen. These are the works that Jesus Christ did. You know that? all the day. You know, people think that, you see, Jesus himself was a man who actually got a win of his identity and walked in obedience to the Lord. That is why he could ride upon those chariots into heaven at the end of the day of his ministry. That's why he could ride upon the clouds into glory. Amen. And he rules. He's far above all principalities and powers today. And this is the realm that each and every one of us are called to walk in. Amen. But somebody says, how can I enter? How can I enter? The simple truth is that it is the Father's intention to cause all of us to enter back into our place of authority. If you still have sicknesses, weaknesses, all your problems that you have in humanity, your fears, your torments, your lack of faith, then all these things are rooted in your identity in the flesh. You see it? Your sicknesses, your diseases, all the problems that you have are all buried together in that flesh and dust identity that you bear in this world. Amen. The causes come about so because men walk after the flesh. In other words, when you walk after the spirit, there is no such thing as a curse. And there is no such thing as torment that people suffer in this earth. Hallelujah. That throne of David is a throne only for what? For kings. The gate opens only for who? For kings. After the image of Christ. Amen. No other person can enter into that God's kingdom. Nobody can sit upon that throne. Nothing that defiles. What is the thing that defiles? It's the flesh and blood identity. The only kind of identity that can enter into that place is spirit. And there's only one spirit, which is the spirit of what? Of Christ. Amen. Of course, you have evil spirits. When you have an evil spirit, you are talking of a spirit that is not what? Regenerated. You know that? You know somebody can die still, or somebody can be dead without a body and still have a flesh and blood mentality. That is what they call an evil spirit, an unregenerated spirit. Amen. We are regenerated and made clean only as we hear the word of truth and conform ourselves to the word of truth. It's only as we walk in the spirit, amen, transform our minds into the mind of the spirit, that we can actually be purified. Amen. Nothing that defiles, no unclean nature, no carnal nature, can enter into this place of glory in God. They have to be what? Regenerated by the word of God. They have to be transformed. Hallelujah. That is where 1 Corinthians comes in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because these things that we preach at times sound somehow impossible. How can a sinner like me, isn't it? How can an ordinary person like me call myself Christ? How can I sit upon the throne of God? Who am I? Isn't it? But I show you a mystery, the same mystery Paul talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen? Because if we die in Christ, if we die in Jesus, with Jesus, we actually resurrect with a new identity. That person that dies, it's no more, isn't it? When you sow, when you plant a seed underneath the earth and go to check out that seed in some week's time, will you find that seed there? The seed is gone. It vanishes. Amen? In other words, we are sown with a corruptible body. We are sown with a corruptible nature. But we resurrect what? In what? New body, new incorruptible body in Christ. In actual fact, it is a new creature that comes forth. The old person ceases to exist. That identity that we bore, that angry man, that impatient man, that jealous man, that man full of lust and pride, It's no more. But you now begin to behold a new nature, a new identity, a new creature, comfort. And that new creature that comes forth is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 32. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is what? Raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was what? A quickening spirit. Hallelujah. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is what? Is natural. 15 verse 14, 7. The first man is what? Or rather, from 1546. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from what? From heaven. And it is the earthy, such are they also are the earthy. And as is the heavenly, such as also they are heavenly. Now look, listen carefully to verse 49. We have borne the image of what? Of the earthly. We also shall what? Bear the image of what? The heavenly. Amen. Let's stop there for a while. It says that we are born the image of the earthly. We are also going to wear, bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. That earthly image is that flesh and blood identity that we have born in this earth. That limited man, faithless man. The man who is separated from the love of God. The man who does not know God. The man who does not know the power of God. The man who does not sit upon the throne of God. The man who wallows in the dust, in corruption, in vanity. Hallelujah. But what happens? There is a transformation and a cause. By the power of the resurrection, by the power of the Spirit. It's a resurrection that causes the man to be lifted up from the dust. Amen. And placed upon the throne of God. Because the second man is who? Is Christ from heaven. What does he say? The second man is the Lord from where? From heaven. There's only one man in the resurrection. There is only one body in the resurrection. And that body is the body of what? Of the Lord, the Christ, who reigns upon the throne of David, the eternal throne of God. Hallelujah. So this is the transformation that occurs. But it occurs in verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means you cannot enter into the Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, and to sit upon that throne there. Neither does corruption inherit in corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be what? Raised incorruptible. And we shall what? We shall be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. If you go down to verse 54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. Now listen carefully, because God is speaking to us in this hour. We have seen here a change, because Paul is talking here about a change. This change has got nothing to do with the rapture. It has got nothing to do with an angel coming down to sound a trumpet in the sky. What you are hearing this hour, as I'm preaching to you, is what? is the last trumpet. The last trumpet is the last is the message of truth that comes to awaken the sons of God who are dead in their what? Sins and trespasses. Men who are lost in a flesh and blood identity. Amen? Amen. I told you a dead man cannot see. He cannot speak. He cannot talk. Amen. That is the state of those men or people who are lost. That's the state of people who are lost or in the dark about their true identity as princes and kings in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Christ is here to educate us, teach each and every one of us that we are part of that body. The Spirit of God is here to teach you that you are not a flesh and blood being, but you are a king and prince upon God's throne in his eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. But before you can ever enter into that kingdom, you must have shed the flesh. It's not talking about physically dying. We're talking of a transformation in our minds, a transformation in our thinking. Hallelujah. A transformation in our thinking that brings about a transformation even in our natures. Hallelujah. Because that trumpet sounds, and you know, as the eye begins to behold the truth single-mindedly. Hallelujah. There's a transformation within us that occurs. Amen. So that every, you know, belief of negativity within us is cast out. And every belief that ties us to a bloody flesh and blood body is what is destroyed, is abolished. That is when death is what swallowed up in victory. Because when you come to this realm, when you come to this place, you cannot die anymore. You live on forever. Hallelujah. People do not realize that Paul did not die. Paul, when Paul finished his ministry, he wrote a letter saying that he has run the race. And the time had come for him to what? Put aside his tabernacle. He did not die. Hallelujah. What Paul did was what? Step aside. Amen. When you come to this realm, you do not die. You live. Hallelujah. Because he lives. You live and you live on. There's no such thing as death. Death ceases. Amen. You reign in the life of God. You reign upon the throne of David. Hallelujah. This is the work of God. The work of God is to raise us up from the dust and cause us to begin to ride upon chariots of glory back into our place in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. We have to fight the faith, the battle of faith. You know, if you quickly, we round up quickly in the book of Psalm. Psalm 113, verse 7 to 9. He raised up the poor out of the dust, the needy, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, and he set them with princes, even with princes of his people. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. You see it? This is the work of God. The dunghill talks about, you know, feces, trash, shit. You know, and you know, if you look at the Bible properly, you will discover that these are some of the same definitions of that darkness that was in the beginning. When man is cast into darkness, when Adam, God says to Adam, dust you are, to dust you return. It's when Adam fell from grace. He fell from the throne, you know, to the dust realm of mortality. That's the dunghill. That is where men actually live in shame and in disgrace when they walk in darkness. Hallelujah. But the message of the kingdom come to do what? To lead them out of there to what? To glory, so that they sit upon the throne. Amen. They ride upon chariots through the gates of Jerusalem. Even Job 36 verse 5 says, behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but what? With kings are they on thrones. Yeah, he does establish them forever and ever. Who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? There's only one righteous, which is Christ. Amen? That is the only one that is acceptable before the Lord. That is there is no other. Amen? That is the mark. If you live your life in Christ, after the Spirit, you enter into the mark of righteousness. And the Lord causes you to sit upon his throne, to reign in life. So this is our calling in this hour. As the message is sounding, arise and begin to ride upon the chariots of God. Open all ye gates, everlasting gates of Jerusalem, of God's city, and let the kings of glory arise. Let them enter and let them ride into their glory. Hallelujah. This is the message to all the brethren scattered all over the world to get today. Arise upon your horses, upon the chariots of glory, and ascend unto the holy hill of God, where you find the throne of David. Amen.